Okay, well, once again, it's good to see everybody here this morning. Appreciate another opportunity to come up and talk to everyone about some things. One thing with the Word of God, it's timeless. We've talked about this before, that we can apply something that was written thousands of years ago to today, to our current events. How is that? Well, because this isn't just a book of stories or things that man decided to write just because they wanted to. No, this is the inspired Word of God. It comes from the mind of the Creator, the one who created us, created this world, and knew all things, knew how life was going to go. And as we've talked before, there's no new thing under the sun. The things that plague people today are the same things that plagued people back then when this was being written. In Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now that could be taken two ways. You can look at that as a warning that, if you find yourself on the fearful side of judgment, that the Lord's going to remind you that you had the Word of God and that it was alive and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing and discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, which may not be so good for your case. But I like to look at it in a little bit different light. I like to see that as a promise that God is saying, you don't need to rely on those worldly ideas, those things you've been trained in by your society, by your culture, then have to rely on those to be truths to lead you through this life. No, you don't need that. That can lead to dysfunction, that can lead to problems, that can lead to a life that is a little bit shy of the quality we would like to have. But yea, rather, come and learn of the Word of God, because it is living and it is powerful and it is sharper than any two-edged sword that will take that carnal-mindedness out of you, take that sin right out of you, and it will help you to be that discerner of your thoughts and make those intents of your heart to be true and to be good, so that you will live righteously and walk in the way that we should walk, is how I like to see. Another one, just real quick. 2 Peter 1 and 20 says this, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Once again, just reiterating that fact that this is the holy Word of God, and it has a purpose. God sent His Word here and to this earth and gave it to us for a very specific reason, for a purpose, and I'll get to that a little bit later. I just wanted to get those things out of the way. I haven't even started talking about what I want to talk about today. That was all for free. Okay. So anyways, having said that, let's get back to the current events. A lot of times Dad will do things about what's going on in the world and, apply the Scriptures to it so we can better understand, the world around us. And I guess that's the same thing I want to do this morning. Now, sometimes I wonder how much I should talk about things that have applied to my previous life, and the answer is not very much. And we'll go to Romans 6 so I can start this out. So we'll turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 20, because I want everything to be in proper context, okay? Romans 6 and 20 says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." I want to talk about this morning is the substance abuse problem that we have in the world and also in this country. Why? Because you can't turn the TV on without hearing about opioid epidemic and heroin use and all sorts of things like that. And what is that? Really, what is that? Why do people go down those roads? Why did I go down that road? For the sake of the tape, people that may not know me too well, I wanted to start with that disclaimer to make sure everyone understands that it is those things that I am now ashamed. But it's a credibility statement that what I talk about here today is firsthand knowledge. I've been through it and I've experienced it, so I feel I have the ability to talk about these things this morning because it can be a little bit of a controversial issue. So having said that, I'm going to start a little bit specific talking about, you know, the substance abuse problems, but I'm going to then take it big scope and bring it into the realm of the world has a sin problem is what it all boils down to. Because even though, like myself and other people, find themselves in those situations where they turn to these other things to find happiness and contentment and relief from life, really all it is, it's Satan's cheap imitations for what we crave from God. He designed us, he made us to want those things, to pursue pleasure and avoid pain. And he wants us to have those fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, listen, we'll probably go there later, but you know, the love, the joy, the happiness, the goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all those things, that's the things that we want. But when people deny God, refuse to follow God, they separate themselves from those things they want. So the only thing left then to do is to find other ways to obtain it. So what they end up doing is falling into various lies of the devil, which does not fulfill what they want. We'll get to that in a minute. What I want to talk about is the fact that being through the circumstances that I went through in the past, even leading up to and involving incarceration, led me to be forced to go to counseling. It was AA programs, court ordered, and then other counseling that I had to go through as part of the sentencing deal, probation, all that stuff. And that's where I want to pick up, and that's what I want to talk about. Because you find yourself sitting there, and you got a big problem on your hand, and they send you to state-certified, college-educated, diplomas on the wall counselors. They're supposed to fix you. They're supposed to tell you how to get over what it is you're dealing with. So you sit down, and they analyze you and diagnose you and all these things. And the problem that I had with those people in those programs was that at the end of the day, after they're done with their diagnosis, they pretty much tell you that you're going to live with this desire to do these things for the rest of your life. So you have to have a program, you have to have sponsors, you have to do all sorts of things, and even to the point that even if you do all that and you do it all right, you're going to have to fight that desire for the rest of your life. And I could not accept that. That was not reasonable to me. I was not going to accept that answer. Talk about, you know, this alcoholism as being a disease, okay? And you know, I'm not going to get into people that want to say it is or it is not. But the point that I want to make on that is I was told that I was an alcoholic, it was a disease, and I'd be that way for the rest of my life. And I would fight that desire till the day I died. Well, the problem I have with telling people that is because that's a very defeating word. That makes that person feel like they don't have a choice anymore. And what does that do? That gives Satan all the power in the world. because now they've just accepted, they're going to lay down and die, and oh man, you know, what am I going to do? And then all sorts of mental principles start to come into play about the things you focus on is what you're drawn to. Even if it's not what you want to do, you're still focused on it, so you still end up being drawn to it. And then you end up repeating the process over and over. And they're sending people to prison. People are dying. Families are being destroyed. All sorts of bad stuff and dysfunction is happening because of these things. It's because that the world is giving Satan all the power, even to the point of through the people that are supposed to help them. And why is that? Well, it's because they forget about one very important thing. They forget about the power of Jesus Christ. See, where mankind fails, when they can take you 3/4 of the way, when they can put the band-aids on the bullet wounds, God steps in and says, "Nope, hold on, I can do better than that. I'll take that desire right out of you. I'll fix you completely." See, that's the difference. And as the Christians of this day and age, the Church of God, that's what we need to do. We need to be able to take this message to those people and that have no hope because their choice has been taken away. They've been diagnosed as diseased, and say, "No, that's not true. Let me show you what the Word of God says about that. Let's take another look at this as to what the Creator says is true and what isn't true." Go to John 16. John 16 and 33. Jesus speaking says, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Well, what is the world? 1 John 5 and 19 says, "The whole world lie under the sway of the wicked one." So if Jesus says, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world," and the world lies under the sway of the wicked one, then that tells me that Jesus has overcome Satan. And if you want it to be a little bit more pointed than that, let's go to 1 John. And in chapter 3, I didn't write this one down, so give me a second. 1 John 3 and 8, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil," in which obviously he did. When he died on the cross and said, "It is finished," that is part of that "it is finished" that he was talking about, that he put that final nail in the coffin of the devil, sealed his fate. So Jesus says, "I've overcome the world." So what do we get when we're baptized? We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit? It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. What does that then do? That gives us the power to overcome the things that mankind says you can't overcome. There's no reason I shouldn't still be doing what I was doing. What changed? Well, one, my desire. That's key. You got to desire it. God will not work in your life if you don't want him to. And secondly, the power of that Holy Spirit. And thirdly, you got to have the Word. You got to have the information. That's where the power comes from. You got to have the Spirit, you got to have the Word, and you got to have the desire. You have those three things, then you can overcome anything. And like I said, I'm going to take it from pointed to big. So from substance abuse to sin, whatever it is. You have bad attitude, got, you know, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, any of those things. It can all be overcome because what is it? What is it really? Satan can only do one thing: pervert what God has given us as true goodness in our lives. So what he does, Satan, is he offers things that fool the mind and destroy the body, whether it's in substance abuse or whether it's in sinful living. It fools the mind and it destroys the body. And left untreated to the point of physical death, it kills the spirit. The spirit that sins must die. Why? Because God's a bully, and that's just what he does? No. See, mankind was not intended to live apart from God. That's not, we weren't. So when mankind tries to find other ways to live apart from the Lord, it doesn't work. It ends in death because they cannot sustain us. See, God made us to be with him. First here in relationship through the Spirit, and then also in glory for eternity. And when people refuse that, they're not created to sustain it. And death is the only other alternative. We know by 1 John 3:4 that sin is lawlessness. It covers all those things that we've talked about. So it doesn't matter what it is. Whatever we find ourselves struggling with, if it's not of God, then it's fooling the mind and it's destroying our bodies. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Okay, let's pick that apart a little bit. Whose mind the God of this age, Satan, has blinded, who do not believe. Why? Lest the light of the gospel would shine on them, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Satan does not want that to happen because he knows what will happen. More people that see Christ, know Christ, develop that relationship, and take on that image of God, as is our potential through the Holy Spirit, that quickens Satan's destruction into everlasting fire. He doesn't want that. So he wants to take as many people down with him as possible. So what does he do? He blinds their minds to keep them from that gospel. Now, like I said, it's, whether it's substance abuse or whether it's just plain carnal mindedness, you can see people who live not very happy lives. Usually, it's pretty well observed. You know, a few years ago, I knew a guy, had a very stressful job, and it took a toll on him. You know, I watched this guy go from looking like he was in his 40s to he was in his 70s within a couple years just because of that stress. You know, when people are just miserable all the time, it does affect your health. So, again, I don't want to just stick this solely to the substance abuse, but I see that as being a very big problem today. I run into it a lot talking with people that is a big problem. Why? Because they're so desperate for some relief that they'll go to these things that destroy their bodies, and they don't care because they just gotta have some relief. What really is what they need is they need the Lord. They need that happiness and contentment that never goes away, that stays with them forever. And the only place they can get it, the only place you're going to find it, is right here in the Word of God. I want to look at a couple Old Testament prophecies. Turn to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36 and 26. It says here, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Let's go to Isaiah 55. You can keep your finger right there if you want to, though. I'm going to do a little comparison here. Isaiah's few books back to the left. Isaiah 55 and 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, the snow from heaven, do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it." Okay, he's very specific there. Okay, God doesn't do anything on accident. He says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth." When I opened up, we talked about that. These scriptures are not of man's interpretation. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. Man penned it, but God wrote it. This is from the mind of God. This is the word of God. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." What is the thing that it's going to prosper in? What is the thing for which he sent it? Well, remember, in 36 and 26, he's talking about he's going to give us a new heart and put a new spirit in us. He'll take the heart of stone out, your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. Now, in that comparison, what does that look like? What's a stone? A stone is an inanimate object. It's dead. It's cold. It's hard. Much like the hearts of man who are carnal-minded, who are led by the god of this world. Wouldn't you agree? The people that tend to try to find other ways besides God's ways to fulfill themselves, which ends in destruction, dysfunction, and everything else. Yeah, that's pretty much how I felt at a time, that heart of stone. God says, "I'm going to take it out of you. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh." What's a heart of flesh? It's alive. I'm going to give you a living heart. It's soft and malleable. You go from cold and dead to alive. So the word of God will accomplish what he pleases, prosper in the thing which he sends it, put a new spirit and a new heart. Okay, what's that look like? Let's fast forward then back to the New Testament. Go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Here he says, And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Skip on over. Chapter 4, verse 17. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which goes corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Why don't I drink anymore? Because there's a new man which was created in the according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The man's wisdom and counseling wants to take the old thing and just try to knock it around and form it into something that looks completely different, and it is not possible. God says you got to get rid of that heart of stone. We're going to take it out. I'm going to give you a new one, a new heart, a new spirit. And according to that, you being on put on man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness, now we can overcome those things. Now we can make these things happen. That's the only way it's going to happen. The old one had to go. He says, put it off. Get rid of those old deeds. You don't do that no more. That's not you anymore. You died with Christ. You're dead. Now I live. according to the way he lived. He lived according to his Father. And that's the way we ought to live now also. Ephesians 5 and 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and in truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Let's dissect that a little bit. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is where? In the substance abuses, in the bad attitudes, in the getting my own before somebody can take it, or running over, you know, your best friend to get a leg up, and doing all those things that mankind does to each other to try to be successful. Is that where it's at? Nope. The fruit of the Spirit is in goodness. It's in righteousness. And it's in truth. Well, what's truth? Well, John 17:17, Jesus says that word is truth. The word, what's the word of God? That's the word. That's the word he's talking about. The word of God that had a very specific reason, a very specific thing that God says it's going to go and it's going to prosper, and the thing in which I send it, it will not return to me void. Yep, that's the word. That's the very same one. It gives us the access to the things we want, to the happiness, the fruit of the Spirit, which he's talking about right here. I can usually quote most of it. I get a little tied up sometimes. I get ahead of myself. So we can read it. Galatians 5 and 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Isn't that what people want at their core at the end of the day? They'll go and rob a liquor store to go and buy these drugs that give them a little contentment for a few hours, and then it's gone. God says, come and learn of me. He says, you want the fruit of the Spirit? Well, I'll tell you where it's at. But you got to read my word to find it. And it's in the goodness, and it's in the righteousness, and it's in the truth. That's where it's at. And it won't even cost you a penny. The only thing it costs you is a little effort. You got to put a little something into it. You got to have a little bit of faith. You got to believe. Believe in me. Believe that I actually care about you and that I want what's best for you and that I'm not out to just destroy you, because God says I'm not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. If you believe that, if you believe I'm a good father, then come and learn of me and see what I have to say about things. And in doing so, you will find the goodness and the righteousness and the truth, which then will lead to the fruits of the Spirit, the happiness and all those things that we want. It's finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. The very next verse, verse 10. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. That's where it's at. Satan offers these things. He fools the mind and it destroys the body. That's what the world offers. That's what Satan offers. And that's all he can do. That's the best he can do. And yet he's taken millions upon millions and who knows how many straight down to hell with him through his lies and his deceit and these cheap imitations. Don't underestimate the power of those delusions of Satan. They are very powerful. They grab a hold of you. It's hard to get away. But no matter what addictions or habits or dysfunction people suffer from, it can be completely removed with no desire left for it according to the Word of God and the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, mixed with that desire to want to change. And Satan cannot compete with that. He cannot compete with the real thing. Jesus has already defeated him. And if he indwells us, then that means we have the power to defeat him too. No matter what the world says, no matter what we're diagnosed with, or what somebody with a plaque on the wall, what their opinion of the situation is, They're not God, they're not the standard, and they cannot tell you what is and what is not. Only God can. We need to keep that in mind, not be pulled away by man's wisdom. Now I have the peace and contentment in me living 24/7, all the time. I don't need that stuff anymore. Neither does anybody else. It doesn't matter whether it's the substance or it's any other carnal mindedness that we find ourselves struggling with. That's not where it's at. Even if it's a bad day, even if things aren't going the way I want it to, it still doesn't have to take away from my quality of life. It doesn't send me into a tailspin of destruction. 2 Timothy 1. Second Timothy 1:12, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. What does it mean for him that is able to keep, to not leave me nor forsake me, to not let me be tempted more than what I can handle? He is going to keep my best interest at heart. He's going to keep me until that day when he comes back. What have I committed to him? My life, my soul, my deeds, my everything. But I believe and am persuaded, convinced even, that he is able to keep me. To have that kind of confidence overshadows anything that we find ourselves dealing with on this earth. And that is why things don't send us into tailspins. Because even if it's a bad day, we still know whose we are. And we still know that he is looking over us. He sees us, and he is there with us as we churn through this world, and that there is nothing that mankind can do to us, because it's all temporary anyways. It's all going to end one day anyways. It's the eternity that matters. And we know whose we belong to, and we know because of the Word of God, not because we guessed, not because we felt it. We read it. We know the Word of God is truly from the mind of God. I want to go back to Romans 6 and take on the second half of where I started to read when I began. Verse 22 now says, "But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, in the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The soul that sins must die. We were not intended to live such ways. We were intended to live with the Father in glory forever. Even here on this earth, he wants us to live, truly live. And it's only done through the relationship with God. And it only comes through knowing these scriptures and walking in the Spirit and in truth. And that is the gift of God, eternal life, in Christ Jesus our Lord. So as we go out this week, we make connections and talk to people and co-workers and all that. Doesn't matter what we come across, doesn't matter what the person's dealing with, may even be in ourselves, may even be in our own lives, dealing with something, having a tough time. It's all sin, and it's all separation from God. It needs to be cut out so that we can truly have what we want, get Reach through that mirage, that smoke screen that Satan puts up. You know, I'll probably talk a little bit about it tonight. You guys got a couple minutes, right? Just real quick, just to kind of wrap it up. This is something I got talking about a few weeks ago, and it's really been on my mind. 1 John 3:20, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Okay, one thing to keep in mind with all this, when you're struggling with sin, I'm talking about somebody who has a heart that is sorrowful because they're trying to overcome these sins, and some things don't come out as easy as other things. I mean, you really got to work it. It takes a lot of time, and sometimes you can be discouraged. And once again, talking about Satan not getting a leg up, not giving him the power, we got to keep in mind, he wants us to be discouraged. So as we're churning through these things, we may feel like something's wrong, that maybe we're really not saved. Why can't I beat this thing? Why is it such a burden to me? Am I just not strong enough? Do I need to try harder? What's going on? Well, we need to know. We need to have an answer to that. Otherwise, Satan's going to step in and discourage you and say, yeah, you're not strong enough. You can't do this. Yeah, something is wrong. He's going to put those thoughts in our mind. So, like I said, I'm going to probably talk about this a little bit more later. But just keep this in mind and meditate on it as you go through this week, okay? If you find yourself struggling to that point to where you really want to overcome something, you're really having a hard time, one, ask yourself this question. Do I really want to be free of this sin? You really have to ask yourself honestly, is this something I really want to be freed of? Or is this something that Satan has put in my mind that has tricked me to make me think that this is something I want or need or is good for me? But is it really? We need to ask ourselves those questions. Do I really want to be free of this? Do I really see it as bad? And secondly, how is your quality of life? Do you see God working in your life? Can you see where you've made progress? And if you can, then stay strong and try harder and keep going through it. Believe more. Read more. Pray more. You know, the guy I was talking to about this, he made a very good point. He said, you know, when I was going through these things and really trying to clean up my life, I found myself always asking God for forgiveness. But what I realized one day is I wasn't asking him for the power to overcome it. Are we asking God to just forgive us, or are we asking him to remove it, to strengthen us, to give me the power to truly overcome this, Lord? It makes a difference. So remember, the things the world offers are cheap imitations that will not satisfy the soul, because the soul craves one thing, and that's relationship with the Creator, with the Lord God. So we need to give ourselves that in which we were designed to have. So, all right. Thank you for your attention this morning.